Daniel chapter 1. We're going to cover what happens in Daniel chapter 1. And the theme tonight, I was really encouraged by this, going through this. Why God used Daniel. Why did God use Daniel? Why God used Daniel? Daniel chapter 1. I'll just read a few verses here. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried away into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and to whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I'm going to stop there, and we're going to deal with why God uses Daniel. Why did God use Daniel? And you find out, it's right there in verse 8, that Daniel had purposed in his heart to honor God. And so that's it, but there's some circumstances that made that difficult. And let's pray and talk about why God used Daniel. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the Bible and all the souls that are here this evening. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. I pray that you'd encourage them. I pray we'd get something out of what we're reading about, and it would be very helpful, very instructive, and that we could find, like Daniel, a purpose in our hearts to honor the Lord. And I pray you'd be encouraged to do that, watching Daniel do it here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. A few things about Daniel that I read this fast because I wanted to get to the point and get going here. I want you to think about his situation here. Daniel's in Babylon. Daniel's from Israel. He's from Jerusalem. He has now been carried away captive to a foreign country. He cannot practice Judaism. All right, that's something to note when you talk about people in the Old Testament, you know, keeping the law and things like that. Daniel can't keep part of the law. I mean, in Judaism, it's required to go to the temple. It's required sacrifices and things like that. Daniel, he cannot practice Judaism. He can't do it. His family is either dead or at least separated from him. By the way, Daniel's a young man. He's a teenager probably at this time. His family, his mom and dad were probably killed in the captivity. In the Babylonian siege in Israel and in the war there. And Daniel is an orphan. Like I said, his family, he doesn't have any mom or dad at this point. They're dead or he's separated from them and he'll never see them again. And before we get too far into it, I want to ask you this question. Because you read that Daniel purposed in his heart to honor God. Daniel has lost his whole life As a teenager, he's lost his whole life. He's lost his home. He's lost his family. And you might, if you're, God forbid, but if your mom or dad passed away tonight, you would be able to go home, cry yourself to sleep or cry all night, and you would probably have people that would come in and want to comfort you and things like that. When Daniel's mom and dad died, he was just hauled off to a foreign country. He didn't have a grieving period. He didn't have a time where he could be comforted and things like that. He lost his parents, and he was moved off, shuffled off into a foreign country as a teenager. And I want to ask you this, because Daniel purposes in his heart that he's going to serve God. And the question for me to you is, what have you lost? Because we probably haven't lost as much as Daniel lost, but we haven't purposed in our heart to serve God like Daniel either. Daniel has lost everything. He doesn't have mom and dad. He doesn't have his home surroundings. He has in Judaism, he has no priest to guide him. He can't go to the tabernacle and ask about the scriptures. He doesn't have a Levite to show him the way. He doesn't have any mom and dad to direct his path. And as a young man, as a teenager, in this circumstance, he is put in this foreign environment and looks around and says, I don't have guidance from mom and dad. I don't have a Levite, a priest to help me. I don't have a place where I can go worship. The only thing I can do, I can't purpose in the tabernacle because I can't go to the tabernacle. I can't purpose to talk to a Levite. I can't find a Levite. The only thing I can do is purpose in my heart to serve God. That's all I can do. He's been rendered, if you notice he's with the eunuchs, that means he's been rendered incapable of ever having a family. He's not going to have an option of having a family. That's not going to be in his future. And I think if you and I sort of look into Daniel's life here, he has every reason to be mad at God. He has every reason to go to Babylon and say, why did you do this to me, God? Why am I in this position? But that's not Daniel. Daniel sanctifies the Lord in his heart. And he says, Lord, if I can't do the things I normally did. I can't serve you the way I used to serve you. The best I can do is I can at least purpose in my heart that I'm going to at least try not to defile myself, at least honor you in some way. I just want to honor you in some way. I'm not going to get bitter about this situation, although he could. He had every reason to get mad. And we probably got bitter for less things than what Daniel went through. Daniel, he's not going to ever have a family. He has no future with a family. He's put through a school in Babylon, in a Babylonian curriculum. I'm sure he's with other kids that make fun of him and his God. I'm sure he's with other kids that what kids do. I'm sure they're laughing at their pornography and joking about their drunkenness. I'm sure he's with that crowd. And yet Daniel purposes in his heart, I want to honor God somehow. I want to honor God somehow with my life. And I don't have many ways to do that. So at least I'll do it this way, and we'll see how he does it. Daniel's God has been mocked and ridiculed. Think about this. Think about this additionally to what's going on here. The Babylonians came into Israel and they destroyed Israel. In the Babylonians' mind, Israel's God is not powerful enough to defend Israel from Babylon. And Daniel's saying, I still trust in my God. You know what the Babylonians are probably saying? Your God is nothing to our gods. We wiped the floor with your people. But Daniel, he holds on. He says, I want a purpose in my heart that I want to do something to honor God. I just want to do something to honor God. I'm sure his God has been mocked by the Babylonians, ridiculed by the Babylonians. In the eyes of the Babylonians, Israel's God couldn't even defend Israel from Babylon. And when they cleaned out the temple, everything in the palace, the Babylonians are eating and drinking off of plates that they got out of Israel, out of the temple that was supposed to belong to God. I mean, you imagine the situation. It's just everything points against Daniel and his God. Everything. The culture, the ridicule, the environment he's put into, everything is pressure and a reason for bitterness and hatred toward God. Daniel, furthermore, when Daniel purposes in his heart, he has no promise that God is going to do anything with him. He has no promise that God's going to get him out of the country, that God's going to restore his house or put him back in his land. He has no promise that God's going to do anything with his life. He has no promise that God's going to even preserve his life. So in all of this, this is the thing that makes Daniel set apart from every other teenager in Babylon in that palace. Well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Abednego there. He purposes in his heart. He says, I want to honor God. In spite of what's happened in my life, I want to make sure I honor God. He purposes in his heart. And so the opportunity shows up. He sat down with in front of the food and everything, and he's put through this college or this education, this Babylonian education. They're going to feed him Babylonian food. And Daniel, with all of the right, it seems like, to be bitter and angry and mad at God, Daniel politely says, you know, I'd like to not, I think I could just serve my God better if I didn't eat this food and drink this wine. And he's not mean about it. He's not, I mean, it is incredible the character of this man, this young man. He's polite. This is what he says in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, watch this. Watch these three words. Prove thy servants. How many of you would say publicly, in your school, at your job, prove me. Prove my Christianity. Let me show you my God is God. Let me show you that. But he's not rude about it. He just says, I think the best way for me to honor my God is to not eat and drink what you guys are eating and drinking. If you could just give me some oatmeal and some water, I think I could serve my God better that way. He's just nice. He is the Bible says he has an excellent spirit. He is polite about it. And then he says, the man that's in charge of him says, you know, if I give you different food and you end up sick or something, I'm in trouble. And when people get in trouble with the king, it's not like, hey, just sit out for a timeout or whatever. It's your job is done. In fact, your life is over. He says, you're going to make me endanger my own head if I do this. And Daniel very wisely says, well, if you can just do it this way. Just give me 10 days with this diet. Just give me 10 days and then make an assessment if it was good or bad. And just if you just give me 10 days. What a wise young man. What a wise young man. He says, prove thy servants. Would you ever say that? I'm a Christian and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm a Christian, I'm going to prove it to you. In your school, I'm a Christian, I'm going to prove it to you. In your work, I'm a Christian, I want to prove it to you. That's what Daniel says. And I wish we could all just look at the environment Daniel's in. This is like, I remember, so a lot of you probably have some similar stories like this. But I remember when I was still working in the oil field, I go up to Houston and we have these meetings. And then typically some of the guys would go to strip clubs or whatever. And that's what they do. Well, they found out pretty quick, I don't do that stuff. Not only do I not do that stuff, I don't even go drink alcohol. I just can't serve my God and do those things. I can't serve my God and drink with you. I can't serve my God and go to a strip club. I can't do that. And so after about the first or second time, it was like, well, don't invite Brian because he's not going. I'm like, thanks. I don't want to go. That helps me because you're not going to ask me to go. That's good. I don't have to say no to you again. But that's the point. It's the environment. And you have this testimony around people. Daniel says, if you could just, you know, I don't want to eat those things and drink that. It's not about the diet. I've seen some books. It's like Daniel's diet, you know. And this is going to make you more spiritual. His diet didn't make him spiritual. The fact that he wanted to honor God made him spiritual. That's what made him spiritual. That was the power of his life. And so he gets proven. In fact, here's a good New Testament verse to look at this. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. This is what Peter says about it. This is a New Testament way of saying what Daniel is doing. He purposed in his heart, in spite of all of the crowd noise, in spite of all of the peer pressure. You know what? We sat down at camp. There's a little time where you can have your church together and talk and things like that. So we had our church time there, and I asked the kids. I said, "What is the one thing that keeps you, or is it the biggest hindrance to serving God?" And every single one of them said, peer pressure. Everybody makes fun of it. Or they call it racist, or it's just there's so much pressure not to serve God. There's so many influences. Well, think about Daniel. Daniel has all those influences, but Daniel doesn't have a family to go back to. Daniel doesn't have a home to go back to, and he faces all those influences, and he purposes in his heart, I just want to honor God some way. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. It says, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But here it is. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's Daniel. He sanctifies God in his heart. The people say, I can't do this for you. I mean, I'm going to endanger my own head. He says, well, just if you just give me 10 days, I mean, I can just serve my God better if I just do it this way. Let's keep reading. Verse 16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Well, I'll stop there. That's good. You get the idea. That verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That's Daniel. That's exactly what Daniel does. Sanctifies God in his heart, because that's the only place he can sanctify God. He doesn't have a temple to go to. He doesn't have an altar to go to. He doesn't have a priest to go to. He doesn't have a Levite to go to. He doesn't have a mom to go to. He doesn't have a dad to go to. So he sanctifies God in his heart. He says, I just want to honor God some way. I just want to honor God. I just want to honor God. And so he says, prove us 10 days. Proof of his faith. He purposed in his heart. He's going to prove his faith. And then this. You remember at the beginning of this chapter, Daniel's put through school. And it's clear that Daniel is the only one that thinks the way he thinks. That the people around him, the kids around him, don't think the way he thinks. And so he is an outcast. I mean, he does not fit in. He just doesn't fit in. And he doesn't fit in because he just wants to honor God. At the beginning of the story in chapter 1 here, I'm sure Daniel feels the peer pressure. I'm sure he feels all of that environment and all of the people making fun of his God. But you know where Daniel is at the end of chapter 1? After purposing in his heart, he just wants to honor God. God responds. He starts to work in Melzar's heart. And Daniel and Melzar they have a rapport with each other. Melzar says, okay, I'll let you eat pulse and water for 10 days. We'll see what happens. I'll let you do this. And after those 10 days, here it is, verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. It wasn't just 10 days, though. After the 10 days, that became his diet. And he said, I can just serve my God better this way. And then look what happens after this. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. You remember where all those guys were at the beginning, maybe probably making fun of Daniel and laughing at his God and all that kind of stuff? You know where they are now at the end of the chapter? They're working for Daniel. Everybody's going to be working for Daniel now. And in fact, you go to chapter 2, and the king of Babylon, the man Nebuchadnezzar, who came the closest to ruling all of the world, it is down on his knees worshiping Daniel. You know why that happened? Because Daniel purposed in his heart that he didn't want to defile himself, and he just wanted to honor God. He didn't know how he could do it, but one day there was an opportunity to do it. And that opportunity showed up, and Daniel was given wisdom, and he applied that wisdom, and he said politely, if I could just, you know, I don't want to drink the alcohol, I don't want to eat the food you're eating, if I could just have some basic necessities, some water, some oatmeal, vegetables, whatever. If I could just have that, I think I could serve my God a lot better. And the Lord looked at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego looked down at these boys that had honored God in their hearts, and then were given an opportunity to honor God publicly, and the Lord said, I'm going to promote that one, and I'm going to promote that one, and I'm going to promote that one, and I'm going to promote that one. And by the end of chapter 1, all those kids that were making fun of Daniel are working for Daniel. And then at the end of chapter 2, the king of all the world is worshiping Daniel. That's someone who honored God. That's a young man that honored God. And you know why God used him? Because Daniel gave God a platform to work off of. He gave him his life. He gave God an opportunity to do something with his life. Why did God use Daniel? It's real simple. Because God could use Daniel. He could use Daniel. Daniel provided an opportunity. He said, Lord, I just want to honor you. And this is the best way I know how right now. I don't have a temple. I don't have a sacrifice. I don't have an altar to go to. I don't have priests to talk to. I don't have a mom and dad. I don't have a house to go to. But if I can just purpose in my heart, if I can just honor you in some way, just some way, if I can honor you. And the Lord said, now that's what I can work with. I can work with that. And you don't get one chapter into Daniel, and Daniel is already head and shoulders above everyone else, all his peers. By chapter 2, he is the right-hand man of Nebuchadnezzar. And before you end in the book of Daniel, Daniel has survived multiple kings and lived through and worked in multiple palaces and for multiple kings there, and he has survived, and the Lord has given him wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom, all because he said, I just want to honor God. I just want to honor God in some way with my life. I'm not going to get mad about the situation. I'm not going to get frustrated with this. It is frustrating. It is just hurtful. What's happened to my family, it's painful what's happened to my life. But you know what? I just want to honor God. I don't want to blame God for it. I just want to honor God. And the Lord said, now there's a man I can use. And boy, does he ever use Daniel. Boy, does he use Daniel. You know what? That's why. That first chapter here, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. That sets the stage for the rest of Daniel's life. That sets the stage. God has given a platform to work on in Daniel's life, and the Lord uses it. He uses it. He purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed it in his heart. He proved his faith, and then he was promoted by God. What a great testimony. What a great young man. I read this, I'm just like, I think, this young man is incredible. It's no wonder God used him. It's no wonder God used him. What an incredible young man. I hope that's helpful. I hope it's encouraging to you. I hope that's helpful to you. Father, thank you so much for these words. What a blessing. What a testimony this young man had. And then even through his older years and as he grows up and works in multiple, for multiple kings and sees kingdoms rise and fall, and he's just steady and honorable all through it all. Lord, I pray we'd be like that. Help us. Help us to be like Daniel. What an astounding young man. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for the young kids that are here, the teenagers. Pray that you'd bless them. Pray they could take a stand in their school with their friends. And even the ones that are working at their jobs. And for the adults that work in, they'd have a testimony of honoring God with their life. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.